Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. I see I didn't scare all of you off with too much jargon on our brief historical overview last time. Have you heard the latest? It isn't out yet. Heather's grandpa loves saying that. Every time we would go to him, he had his list of jokes. But wow, doesn't that just describe our news media cycle so well? Seconds later, it's old news. We'll be chatting about the news today. Before we do so, though, let's pray. Dear Lord, you are a good and true God, and we live in your reality. We face sources that present their perception of the world. Please help us today as we consider news media, how to weigh what we hear and what we see against your reality and your truths that you give us in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Let's do a quick review from our last week, our intro week. Media is far-reaching, varied in form, simple and complex, and powerful. It can be a wonderful tool or a dangerous pitfall. We defined media last time very broadly as media, the plural of medium, is any means of communication used to influence, inform, or entertain multiple individuals or an audience. And we said that we could reword that some too, that media is any means of communication aimed to influence the thinking of multiple individuals via the presentation of information or entertainment. We are grouping media into these three big categories. We're looking at news media today. Next week we'll look at entertainment media, and then we'll wrap up looking at social media. As we go through these lessons, we should move from awareness to recognition of impact, to acknowledgement of our personal responsibility, to responding biblically. Remind me again, what is media used for? Why media? What's the purpose? We just defined it so you can remember that, hopefully. What are some reasons? Anyone remember? Help me out. Inform? What else? Communicate, entertain, right? Influence? Through broad dissemination of ideas, which is also a conveyor of culture. And who is it that creates much of the media that we consume? Believers or non-believers? Non-believers, right? And how does the Bible describe the world? Not so pretty, is it? God gave them up to a debased mind. We should expect evil. We should expect to need to have our guards up. We set some goals last time too. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we turn to, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Our goal is sanctification. Love God first. Live as Christ. We heard a beautiful song this morning from Philippians 2, that we are to have the mind of Christ be in us. Our big goal for our time together is also that we cultivate discernment. And we'll talk about different ways to do that. Cultivate discernment so that we are armed to make good choices and fight against errancy. We are training our mind by understanding what media is all about and also, of course, through God's Word. Armed through your Bible reading as well as knowledge about media and the tactics it employs. We are to take our full devotion to God with utmost sincerity. This is a heart issue, if you remember we talked about that, and a mind issue, which is connected. We must saturate ourselves in God's Word before, during, and after encountering media in order to remain unstained, to be discerning, to recognize truth from error, prepare and train our minds. Otherwise, media will do it for us. Our minds play a significant role in our devotion and our direction, which is why we read one of our anchor verses together. So let's do that again as we start. Can we read this again together? Romans 8, 5 through 6. Read it with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Excellent. Great review. You all get an A+. I did most of the talking, but you still get the A+. Okay. We'll hit this in a similar fashion each week because repetition breeds remembrance. Now, one extreme reaction to what we've discussed is to avoid all media. Good luck. Good luck on that. It's just not going to happen. I'd like to suggest that this is also not what God asks us to do. The other extreme is to just embrace being a consumer, which misses the point big time. So, to what extent is engagement with media important? Is it important to stay updated on the news, at least to some extent? I believe so, and here's why. First, it tells us the current concerns of the people around us and the issues of our day. If we are to effectively witness and minister to the lost, we need to know how to talk to them and how to pray for them, which includes understanding their fears and concerns about the present and about their future. Christ calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. We can listen without partaking. We see Paul model this for us in Acts 17 with the unknown God. This requires grounding in God's word and discernment of what we are hearing and choosing to listen to and then a response to that. I'll admit that at times I wish I could completely ignore media. And I'm a media theorist, did I mention that? But I can't. I teach hundreds of college students every year. If I shut myself off from news and media, I could not be effective in my teaching. Because I would not know what to address and how to approach issues that they are battling with. And the same is true for you as you talk with your coworkers and your neighbors. Second, as we are called to be in this world, I believe that this is part of our cultural mandate given in Genesis 1:28, to subdue, cultivate, and exercise dominion. We are called to be culture creators and changers. This includes having a role in the direction of our government by exercising our voting. We know that the kingship belongs to the Lord, Psalm 22:28. And that he raises and fells nations and their leaders, Daniel 2:21. And we know that we are subject to our governing authorities, who God has established, Romans 13:1, which, by the way, Paul likely wrote during the time of Nero, a heinous ruler in Rome, if you didn't know. Okay. We also know that we should obey them until they ask us to do something that's sinful. For we must obey God rather than man, Acts 5:29. With this in mind, we have the opportunity to promote and support individuals who stand for beliefs more in line with God's truth. We see this raising of worthy men to civic responsibility in Exodus 18 when Moses needed help. And then in Deuteronomy 17:14-15, which reads, when you come to the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set over a king over me, like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set a king over you, whom the Lord your God will choose. Well, how are we supposed to know what potential leaders believe and stand for if we have our heads in the sand? As much as I dislike politics, I need to stay informed to fulfill an aspect of what God has called me to do. Clearly, the news is important to some extent and should not be ignored. In order to do this, do you need to be fully engrossed in the news all the time, every day? We'll look at this in a moment, but before I get into this, I'd like to do a quick informal poll. And if you are willing, you may raise your hands in response. You don't have to, but if you want to. All right, so out of curiosity, who prefers to listen to the news through radio, like talk radio, things like that? Couple, okay. This is one way I get tidbits of new insight and information, right, and opinions as I go to and from work. Sometimes it's really annoying, but anyway. Anyone who uses podcasts? Podcasts? Oh, a lot more hands with podcasts. Interesting. How about those who like to watch live news on television? Anyone watch live news? Okay, on television? Okay, good. And those who read printed news? Any newspaper? Yeah. Oh, yes. Good. Good. Anyone reading digital news? Oh, look at all those hands. I also read articles every now and again. I'll quickly mention now, and I might repeat this throughout. Social media is a terrible source for news and truth. Never trust what you see on Facebook or a Facebook ad. Don't believe any story that you see on the internet outright. Okay, let's keep moving. Anyway, is there anyone that says it doesn't really matter how I get the news as long as I get the news? I'll take it in whatever form it comes. Okay, we've got some discerning individuals out there. That's good. All right, any abstainers out there that try to avoid the news? Anyone like that? Okay. Oh, I see a couple hands. Good. Also, people who don't want to raise their hand, abstaining from raising their hand. That's fine. I go on streaks where I don't want to know sometimes. Or maybe there's an issue that's getting quite long in the tooth. You know what I mean? They just can't stop talking about that issue and I'm tired of hearing about it. Those of you who try to avoid the news, do you still hear about what's going on from friends or family? So it's been vetted by someone else in that instance, right? Let's call that word of mouth news. Some of you get the highlights or lowlights here at church when one of the pastors mentions it before or during a message, right? Which means we are all getting the news in some form, don't we? How many of you use more than one source of news information? You get it from... Good, good. This is a very good practice. And if you don't do it, I hope you will see after we talk today that it's really necessary. Okay, thank you for responding to this long line of interrogation. I'll return to that initial question, which is, do you need to be fully engrossed in the news all the time, every day? No. I had a good friend who's passed away now, and he would have the news channel on all the time. All the time. We would go out to eat, and we'd come back to his house. The TV was already on with that channel on. And we would talk, and it would still be on. It would be in the background, you know, it was turned down a little bit, but it was on all the time. What are some reasons why you think he did that? Did I mention, by the way, that it was always one channel? Why only one channel? Any ideas? Didn't trust the others. Excellent. Absolutely. One more important line of rhetorical questioning for you. When it comes to news, who do you trust? Who do you listen to? Is there anyone in particular? Do you ever see if their story checks out? If you become engrossed by news and or look to one source for accurate facts, then they have accomplished one of their main goals, which is dependency. News outlets are built on a platform of trust, developed and maintained. Do I have this one on there? Sorry, I forgot a slide. News outlets are built on a platform of trust developed and maintained by accuracy, dependability and reliability, and relevance, which we would call liveness or nowness. Conversely, it's also dependent on an audience, and that audience's loyalty to keep up its approval ratings. And that goes for all sources of media. So how do they get you to believe them? Today we're going to look at some tactics used to breed this dependency and build trust. I mentioned last time that communication delivery method carried specific psychological and social weight in influencing the reception and response of the viewer beyond the content itself. I'd like to briefly touch on that now while making sure that we don't get too deep into media studies. Bolter and Grusin suggest that immersion in technology through what they call hyper-immediacy of things like virtual reality or the extremes, seek to make the technology itself, the delivery method, transparent to increase immediacy. This immediacy, what we're talking about, is the feeling that we are there or experiencing something directly. While immediacy can only be achieved to some extent, I would argue that the prevalence of technology in today's world and the integration of technology into our everyday lives have rendered it transparent to a greater extent than ever before. Media delivery has become naturalized into the everyday. At the same time, each media source each media source brings into the foreground, into relief, the process of mediation. Mediation is the idea that we do not experience the information firsthand. They bring that mediation to our attention through, as W.J.T. Mitchell points out, through fragmentation and what he calls indeterminacy, or this idea of incompleteness. It's a process, and they make us aware of that process. You see that throughout. For instance, Raymond Williams discusses the flow of television that frequently uses interruptions, things ads, things like that, as well as commercial breaks or scrolling texts to maintain our attention and allow for an increased sense of liveness when we see things like breaking news or live. It's coming in all of a sudden, hard and fast. There it is. Each news media delivery platform will have different ways of communicating to you that is not only present, but that is perpetually relevant. That the media source is present and perpetually relevant. For news, many media devices and structures are used to create this sense of liveness and nowness to increase our trust by engendering authenticity. And that's our heading here, authenticity. Also, speaking of television news, Bolter and Grusin write that news and information show, quote, claim immediacy based on their shared belief that they are presenting what really happened through the instance on the liveness of the action. It is this authenticity, or this guise of authenticity, that is key to our reception of news. Some outlets use even-toned speakers, calm to convey the seriousness, to present truth, while others are more animated to make sure that you know that they really care and they believe in what they're saying. Why? To produce affect, to show the presenters that they really have the truth, that they believe and you should believe too. They have different ways of doing that, but why? If we believe that what they are presenting is reality, how it really happened, then we are more apt to believe it. They present that they have the corner on the truth, in which case belief in authenticity quickly becomes an authority, or the only authority. This is why the fake news wave has been so damaging to the news industry. And yes, it is an industry. However, armed with a cultivated sense of authenticity in their dedicated audience, media outlets can then influence your viewpoints on subjects. Someone mentioned the term propaganda last time, and it's relevant at this juncture to begin discussing these tactics of presentation. We'll look at several tactics to influence, but this concept of propaganda is at the core. In our world of fake news and false Facebook campaigns, it's hard to tell fact from fiction. Propaganda has unfortunately become a strong vehicle for that role of misinformation. However, much of news, even from the big media giants, can act as propaganda. U.S. General Douglas MacArthur said, quote, "One cannot wage war under present conditions without the support of public opinion, which is tremendously molded by the press and other forms of propaganda." Obviously, he's being literal about a war, but every social issue is being molded. Every public opinion is being molded through these uses of media. Typically, propaganda distorts the picture. But the aim is to get you to do something or feel a certain way about something in line with an official governmental policy or lobby position. Propaganda can present a distorted truth. There's a law against false advertising, if you didn't know that. But you can still say pretty much anything you'd like as long as it's not libelous, particularly on political issues. So this presentation of truth usually has a strong spin on that truth. Propaganda is the deliberate, systematic attempt to shape perceptions, manipulate cognitions, and direct behaviors to achieve a response that furthers the desired intent of the propagandist. It is heavily biased. It is not impartial. It's used to influence the audience and further that agenda, again, through selective use of facts, omission, lying, twisting the truth. It usually uses loaded language in order to gain an emotional reaction rather than a rational reaction. There are three types of propaganda. White propaganda generally comes from an openly identifiable source. We know who's putting it out. We know where the information is coming from. It's characterized by gentler methods of persuasion usually, such as standard public relations techniques and one-sided presentations of an argument. Black propaganda, on the other hand, is identified as being from one source, but is in fact from another. It's being deceitful. This is most commonly to disguise the true origins of the propagandist. This is used by enemy countries a lot, and we may have seen things like that supposedly during the election with Russian propaganda ads. Okay? That's what we see. Okay? Gray propaganda is propaganda without an identifiable source or an author, which means it doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tell you who it's from. Okay? It doesn't tell you it's from a campaign or anything. The presenter is trying to protect themselves because what they are trying to present is either errant or unpopular, usually. It is cowardly. We should never support or propagate gray or black propaganda. Most white, we probably shouldn't either, but. Those social media, Facebook and sidebar ads you see fall squarely within usually the black and white and black and gray propaganda. But let's jump back to that definition again as we think about news. Now, what is supposed to separate news from propaganda is that news is supposed to be impartial. Reporting is supposed to be impartial. Presentation of facts. I'm not so sure that actually exists anymore, or if it ever did. Cable news networks and have made this more difficult. Fewer restrictions on press. Removing the mouth of the government can account for much of the diversity of facts and opinions. Remember, media will present a viewpoint of facts which carries the presenter's understanding of how the world works, their worldview. However they present those facts to you, they believe it from their viewpoint of how the world works. And they do that through influence tactics. News media has developed ways to convince you to their viewpoint. So let's review some of those. News sources are in constant competition for the market share. If they don't get good numbers, someone's going to get fired. This leads to several practices, such as the scoop, to get you the info first. The scoop helps them maintain relevance and provides that strong sense of liveness or nowness. And part of this also is so that they can control the way the facts are released or colored so that they can persuade you, the public, of what those facts mean. It's always good to wait before jumping on a story because it's very possible that it's a developing story and that not all the facts are out yet. Which means don't go claim something on social media, don't claim a side on social media right when you hear the news right away. It's just really bad practice. Okay? Because you're probably, or you might have to walk that back, which could then damage your testimony to however many people see your posts. But I'm jumping ahead, we'll get to that though last week. One way to control the narrative truth, that is to convince the audience, is by a formula. Let's look at another tactic. I think you'll quickly recognize this. The formula is expert source plus sympathetic figure equals undeniable fact. Here, news plays on intellect and empathy, combining them in a way to sway you to their perspective, their bias on the situation. Now you, as the viewer, really know the facts. And you really understand and can empathize with what people are really going through. You just got a slice of reality. Cue abortion doctor saying that the procedure is safer than carrying to full term and a woman's right to health care, followed immediately by a woman talking about an abusive relationship and the trauma of an unwanted pregnancy. By the way, while discrediting other viewpoints in the process. This tactic is used by both sides, although empathy is used more so by the left, to the point of exhaustion, ad nauseum. Although the Pharisees sought to ensnare Christ, their disciples spoke truth when they said in Matthew 22:16, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you don't care about anyone's opinions, for you are not swayed by appearances." We should be wary about anyone's opinion. We should be wary to simply believe those who are presented as believable, who have degrees behind their name. Yeah, I have one behind my name too. Or a sob story to tell. Why? Because man is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. News media is a powerful source in initiating carrying out social change. This formula is a primary weapon in that arsenal. Another heavily used yet subtle weapon is language. Consider the disappearance of the word sin in our culture. Or any admission of wrongdoing. Instead, it's, I made a mistake. Or a misstep. Or a lapse in judgment. We see other changes like moving illegal immigrant to undocumented immigrants, to dreamers. Language is powerful in shaping perceptions. We can also chart the change from alcoholic to alcoholism. The abuser is now the victim. Each removes guilt, and that's their purpose. from sexual attraction to sexual orientation, from sex reassignment to sex change surgery, to gender reassignment to gender affirmation, which is where we are now. This wordplay normalizes the aberrant. This isn't foreign to our circles. We see churches struggling through the LGBTQIA, particularly because of terms like same-sex attraction, which tries to account for homosexual leanings. Brent Rathbun, the new leader of the Center for Biblical Worldview, and I were at lunch, and we talked about this for extent. He has some interesting insights on that, the origins of same-sex attraction and the root reasoning for pushing it to Christianity. I'm going to let you talk with him about that, but it's actually not good. It really isn't. Postmodernism has sought to destroy truth, destroy binaries, and destroy meaning in life. In pursuit of the self in response to our loss of meaning of life, since by their understanding they have nothing to live for but ourselves and our own pleasure, we see a loss of values as well. I want my pleasure justified, and I don't want consequences or to be held accountable for my decisions, my sin. So let's change the way we talk about it. Postmodern thinking says that truth and error, right and wrong, beautiful and ugly, normal and abnormal, and a host of other judgments are determined by the individual, her circumstances, or her culture. There is no transcendent God, universal natural law, or truth that we can point to that can inform us about who we are, what our world is like, and how we should get along in it. We must be mindful that word usage and acceptance of that word usage can affirm and further agendas and ideas that run contrary to biblical teaching. Another tactic used by media, by news media in particular, to create dependence is by breeding fear, scare tactics. The world is going to end if we don't change XYZ. An existential crisis, invented or exaggerated. When we tire of one, they come up with another. That's our news cycle. Or all of our rights will disappear if this happens. Think propaganda. There is often some negative truth, but it's typically exaggerated to excite or distract the masses, us. These fears generated and nurtured from both sides are based on the material world. That reality is based in and on the now, and that future is constantly in danger. Don't think that I don't believe that there are governmental decisions that can jeopardize the direction of our earthly future. But I believe in a God of history, a God who is sovereign, a God who cares about his creation and his people, a God who can course correct whenever he wishes. I serve the God, that God, of eternity, and I know the end. We shouldn't submit to these scare tactics because we have a different view of the world. Steve Turner, in his book Imagine, says this: reality as viewed by a Christian is different from reality seen through secular eyes. The fact that we are aware of an eternity ahead and spiritual realms around us alters our perspective on everything else. We have a different view of good and evil. In Harry Blamire's The Christian Mind, he poses similarly, to think secularly is to think within a certain frame of reference bounded by the limits of our life on earth. We need to share this truth with the awareness of the concerns of others and the fallen state of our world. I need to rest in the truth of our sovereign God. Another tactic is discrediting other news sources in a battle for the true facts and pitting one side against the other. We are in a battle. There's no doubt about that. This brings us back to the issue of fake news, briefly. If you tend to get your news on your phone or computer, I said I'd mention this a couple times, so here we go again. Watch out, because this is a hotbed of misinformation. I think I've mentioned that, but I'll just mention it again. Even traditionally reputable sites have opinion pieces that, like propaganda, twist the truth at will to fit their narrative. And they can do this without any retribution because they put the word opinion on it. There are also quite a few erroneous sites and articles that act like black or gray propaganda by flat out using these errant facts. Some of these generate followings and can gather to the level of conspiracy theory. And here's the tricky part. Mainstream news media outlets who understand this pitfall in web-based news distribution quickly label facts and arguments from opposing views in a similar way as these tabloid-style misinformations without vetting it. Meaning that if they don't like what everyone else is saying, it's fake news. Right? We have the facts, clearly. The other tricky part is when one media group picks up one set of facts and another heralds contradictory information. What do you do? What do you do? The current state of news is polarizing, pushing an us versus them mentality. And as I mentioned, it is to some great extent. This is aggravated by the delivery methods themselves. For instance, one aspect of differences in media delivery is, I'll go quickly here, we're running out of time. Radio has been a long use of disseminating information, and media studies labels that as one of the biggest ways of social change because it allows or fosters pent-up energy. The media itself. I won't get into that for sake of time. Returning to this us versus them struggle, the trouble is identifying the us. Who is the us? What do you identify as first? Republican or Democrat? Conservative or liberal? Or Christian? How does that guide your actions? Your opinions. We saw how an us versus them mentality ravaged churches during the mask debate, our church not excluded. And boy, was Satan gleeful. This recalls our discussion of scare tactics. We hear these fears come out strongly in political news. Political news. And I will try to walk carefully here. Political news often centralizes on abuse or impinging on rights. I will mention this quickly from Titus 3:1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. We'll return to Titus 3, our last week together. We should keep in mind that all governments and political groups are human-formed, which means they are subject to corruption, flaws, and failure. They are often human-centric. With this in mind, C.S. Lewis writes in a short essay, Equality, I recommend you read it, quote, the real reason for democracy is that, quote, mankind is so fallen that no man can be trusted with unchecked powers over his fellows, end quote. Men and women will let you down. Want to be disappointed? Idealize a person. Set them on a pedestal, and it will soon crumble. Remember how we described unbelievers last time using Romans 1? God gave them up to a debased mind. They seek evil, and they support error. So who are we to trust? Many place their faith in Fox News. I won't get into all of that mess. A lot of that changed after Murdoch handed off to his son. And now we see things like transgender Bruce Jenner speaking out about LGBTQ. Ironic. For some, Newsmax has become a safe alternative. There's also something called CBN. Some of you are familiar with that, with the 700 Club. The Stalkers also introduced us to something called World Watch, which is meant for kids, a 10-minute video. Maybe that's all we need. Just a 10-minute video, just to wrap up. And for kids, too. I mean, sounds kind of nice. I am a Bible-believing Christian who is conservative in my values and my reading of the Constitution and identify most closely with the Republican Party. So I hope you'll hear me in the measured spirit I try to deliver this as I pick on my own side. I will ask a series of questions that I'd like you to mull over. America is inseparable from the concept of individualism, our rights, our independence, our autonomy. At what point does that become unbiblical? America, both past and present, considers human-centric determinism. We can guide our future through the application of logic and observation. Is this problematic in any respects? How has that impacted politics in different ways, and your own view and how the way the world works? What is our relationship to authority? Submit and obey, unless it's a sin. How are we to view other people? As God's image bearers. As better than ourselves, with compassion and a desire to see them come to Christ. Should I be more concerned with my rights or Philippians 2:4, looking towards the interests and betterment of others? Am I to love my neighbor more than myself? What does that look like in my responses, in my political views? When it comes to our relationship with God's gift of nature, do I stop at dominion and subjugation, politically translated into domination to the point of neglect or abuse? Or do I include cultivation, which carefully considers our responsibilities and our duty of care of our resources which God has given us through mindful practices? If so, what does biblical dominion look like? I could go on, but I dare not, lest I shut your ears. But who or what is your authority in these matters? The us versus them mentality, this polarization based on positions asserted through repeated language that led to fear, distrust, and hatred of others, coupled with an entitled view of self, can blind us to a biblical approach to these challenging topics that demand our humble submission to God. We must never stop asking God to give us wisdom from His Word to navigate polarizing positions. And we should not assume that we are in the right before questioning our positions with biblical principles. Note that I did not say support with the Bible. We must ask, be humble, not just seek to fortify. So who has a corner on the truth? Because most arguments come from a place of belief that they are in the right. Is it possible that everyone has it wrong in the news media? And you know what? They do. Because they, non-believers, have a skewed view of history, present, and future, because it's human-centric. I highly recommend you read John MacArthur's The Truth Wars. We went through this with the Upward Group College year before last. And I think it would be really helpful to many of you, I'm sure. Ephesians 4:14 says, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by winds of doctrine, by cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes." We've seen some of those tactics today. We need to resist with tooth and claw the quick decline of our country into relativism and self-centrism. This is not a new issue. It's just more apparent right now. And we need to fight that way because Christ gave Himself for us. Galatians 1:4, Christ gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Which brings us to our anchor verse for today, which we'll end on. 2 Corinthians 10:5, I destroy every claim and every reason that keeps people from knowing God. I keep every thought under control in order to make it obey Christ. Now, I rarely ever use NIV, but I think the wording here is quite helpful. I'm going to change that right here in a minute. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We must remove wrong thinking from our minds and seek right teaching from God's Word. We must oppose errant thinking with truth and discern where and how the presenter is wrong according to God's truth and God's reality. To do this, we must recognize the tactics used by media. And I hope our discussion today will help you see through the careful devices of media and content delivery in order to make to be more discerning of the truth, God's truth. Let's pray. Lord, help us remember that we serve the God of history. Help us as we are presented with information as facts, that we seek to compare them to the truths found in Scripture. Protect us this week and help us to be discerning. In Christ's name, amen.